Today's scripture comes from Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 10. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Let's pray, please. Lord, thank you for this beautiful sunshine day that we have to come and worship you and learn more about you. Thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for your protection. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord, and forgiving us. Thank you for the word that you're about to bring through us through Pastor Dellinger. Just help us have a wonderful afternoon and a good week this week. Amen.
Have you ever thought about what is your role here at Heritage? Because if you believe that all that you are supposed to do is to show up for the worship service, then you really have not grasped what the Bible teaches about the body of Christ, the church body. Because if you are saved, as a believer, you have a role here in this local body. Because for the true believer, you just cannot sit idly by and just kind of exist here. You are to be ministering to this local body. And this is the teaching of the Scriptures. And let me say this, if you believe that God will not hold you accountable, I encourage you at some point to read Matthew 25, because it will put some fear in you if you believe that you can just do nothing. Again, if you're just showing up on Sundays, and that is sort of the extent of your involvement in the church family, then you're really not following the teachings of the Scripture. Because every believer in this church body has a responsibility to minister to the church body. And this is the teaching that we're going to see today. And it really, something else that doesn't matter. How long you have been saved. Whether you were saved a long time ago or maybe just recently saved, you have a role in this local church. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, young or old, grandparent, teenager, even if you're outgoing or even if you're shy, you have a role in this local church. And when the church family does not realize this and does not live like this and does not minister, then we become a very weak church. But when the local body does understand that everyone is a minister and that ministering is not something that just the leadership or the church staff or certain gifted people do, and I use that term kind of in parentheses as if they're extra special, but when you realize that everyone has been equipped to minister, then the church, the local church, is a powerful, effective body for the kingdom of God. And the more the individuals of the church family minister as the Bible teaches, then the more impacting we will be as a church in our own community, in our own church family, and we will see also the benefit it has to our personal families. This is how God intends for us to function as a church family. And it seems today that there are many churches, especially here in America, that are weak when it comes to, I don't say the activity, because you can be very busy and be very weak, but when it comes to the understanding that everyone is a minister. It's very easy to be a part of a church where you just slip in on Sundays and slip out and no one seems to care, no one seems to even notice. And the dangerous part is many think, well, we've done our part. We showed up on Sunday. You can check off attending church as, you know, on your to-do list. Now, sure, your attendance at the worship service, at the weekly service, is important. It's critical to healthy living. But you also are to minister. And if you can't do that, and if all you show up on all you do is show up on Sundays, then you're missing a valuable teaching of the Scriptures. And these verses that we're getting into today confirm that every believer in the church, everybody in the church family, everyone here at Heritage, has been equipped and blessed with at least one spiritual gift, and God expects us to use that gift in ministering to one another. So as we look in our text today, I really encourage you to examine how you have your own outlook spiritually regarding your role as a minister in the church. Maybe you've never titled it that way. But if someone were to ask you, hey, who's the minister of your church? You'd probably say, well, Boyd's the pastor. But according to the Scriptures, well, who's the minister? Who ministers in the church? It should be everyone. Do you really have a biblical understanding of what we're going to look at today? And I can tell you that if we here at Heritage grasp this teaching of Ephesians in this text today and act it out and live it out, apply it, as the Bible exhorts us to do, then we will have the most healthy, strongest, and impacting church family around. And God can do a mighty work here at Heritage if we all, and that means everyone. You can't say as a young person, well, he's just talking to the adults. Or this is just for the married people. Or this is for those who have been saved for 10 years. No, this is, if you're a believer, this is you. If you're 12, this is you. If you're a woman, this is you. If you're an old man, this is you. A teenager, young person, single, married, it doesn't matter. This is you if you are a believer. If everyone ministers as God intends for us to do, we will be a mighty force for the kingdom of God. But if you say, you know what, you don't understand, I'm very busy. Well, then you are too busy. Or I'm too tired, or I really just don't care, this isn't for me, I'm not a people person. There are no exemptions to this. God doesn't expect you to minister and say, unless you're just not a people person. You can't even say, I'm shy. You can't say, I've not been saved long enough. We're going to look at the Scriptures today, because then we become a weak church when we start making excuses for not ministering to one another. And it doesn't matter whether you attend this church or any other church. You will weaken it and you will put yourself in danger if you give excuses for not ministering to the local body. So look at our text here in Ephesians 4. Verses 7 through 10 today. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. There's a few truths we're going to sort of extract from this passage today. And I pray again that we personally apply what we learn from these verses, because if we do, it will change our church forever. The first truth is that each believer has at least one spiritual gift. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. One of the key words to understanding this verse is the conjunction there, the word but. You see, in the first six verses of Ephesians 4, Paul is speaking about something that all Christians possess, in the unity of the Spirit. But in verse 7 here, Paul is not speaking about a collective body, in a sense of all of us, but individuals within the collective body of the church. So he's gone to speaking in terms of the whole body of Christ to now individuals in the body of Christ. And that's where he says, but unto every one, he's talking about individuals here. So in verses 1 through 6, he's talking about the unity of the Spirit that's in all of us. as believers. But now he says, but unto every one of us. I want you to understand what's taking place. Paul is speaking about us as individuals now. This is not a group. This is you. This is you. And I could call your name. And if you're a believer, this verse is about you. So Paul is talking to each one of us in here individually. This is what he's speaking about. Every single saint in the kingdom of God has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He's talking about our spiritual gifts that we have as believers. I'm not talking about talents or abilities. A spiritual gift is a grace gift, as some call it. It's something that we receive at salvation. We are given a spiritual gift that God intends for us to use to minister to the body, to edify the body. And it's not the same as a talent or an ability, because they can really vary. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't sometimes merge our talents and our abilities with our spiritual gifts. He can and often does. But we're talking about spiritual gifts that are mentioned in like Romans 12 and some other passages. And I also understand that and realize that there are those in here that maybe feel inadequate. That maybe you're not quite significant when it comes to the body of Christ as some other people are maybe in this church. But the Apostle Paul wants you to know something. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been graciously given a spiritual gift by Christ. A gift He wants you to use to minister to the body of Christ. You are that important. You are that important. And whether it's something, whether it's standing in front and ministering in a sense through preaching, or whether it's doing something that is kind of under the radar. You know, Paul's even taught this about our bodies. And we've said this before, I've said this before. It looks like all of you kind of worked on your hair today. But your hair is really not that big of a deal when it comes to being able to live. You can live without your hair. I doubt any of you got up this morning and focused on your liver. Something that none of us have seen, and I don't care to see it. But how long can you live without your liver? And that's why a lot of times we think, well, you look at somebody and go, wow, his hair, if we judge the importance of our body parts based on how much time we spend on them, you think, wow, your hair must be critical to you living. No. It's not. So you may think, I'm not that important. Well, you may say that about your liver because you never see it. But just see how long you live without your liver. So if you've categorized yourself as, listen, I'm not the pastor. I'm not in church leadership. I'm not even married. I'm not even an adult. It's just me. In fact, most people don't even know I'm here. I'm quiet. You're still important. You're a valuable part of the body. I remember when I was in my 20s, I was talking on the phone to a fellow pastor. He was my age. We went to college together. And we were both in ministry, and we were both youth pastors. And he said something in the conversation that the more I processed it afterwards, it really bothered me. And this guy was much smarter than I was, and he was in a much bigger church in a much more influential position, I would say, and now today he has a pretty nice church up in Raleigh. And he said, let's face it, boy, not until we're in our 30s will we have any credibility or influence in our church. But that's not what God says. Now, it's easy to believe that. And unfortunately, based on the type of churches we were both in at the same time, that sort of was the mindset, because the churches we were attending, it was understood that who ministers? Well, the staff does. And everyone else is like a spectator who just occasionally volunteers for things. We did not see the value of the body as a whole and each individual, each believer being a minister. We did not take it personally that we were ministers in that church family. We saw it as something that we paid someone to do. It was a staff job. And that's exactly the opposite of what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. He said, let no man despise thy youth. And I realize I'm focusing on youth here, but you can say the same thing. Well, I'm just a woman. I can't be a preacher. Well, there's a lot of other things you can do. Or you say, I'm not saved, or I've not been saved a long time, or I didn't grow up in a Christian home. You can throw out all kinds of excuses for reasons you can't be a minister. But listen, you can. The Bible is clear about that. But Paul tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And then he tells them how. In word, in conversation. But conversation there means more behavior. It's not talking about your dialogue. He says that in word first. In word, and then really in your behavior is the better understanding of that Greek word. In charity or love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul is telling Timothy, who was younger, that you are an example in how you talk and how you behave in your spirit, in your faith, your purity, your holiness. And you as a young person are to be an example this way. Lead others in your life and in your actions. You don't have to wait, as my friend said, until your 30s to be influential and to have credibility. Do it now. So for any of you here at Heritage that maybe have this in your mind, that you cannot impact this church family, or that you cannot serve, or that you cannot be an example in this local body, Paul says you are wrong. As a believer, regardless of your age or your background or your spiritual knowledge, God has given you a gift that He intends for you to use to minister to others, to minister to us, to minister to the family that's sitting next to you, to minister to the brothers and sisters that we have here at Heritage. Because here's the lie that we often believe. We think that unity means uniformity. That's a lot of times what we think. For there to be unity, there has to be uniformity. And that is not true. Some think, especially in a church like ours, it seems to be even a greater concept that you have to be more uniform. That you have to act like or be like the other people here if there is to be unity. That's not what Paul is teaching. We were not created to be just alike. And God does not intend for us to be just alike. Now, there are some fundamental teachings that we are to agree on for there to be the unity of the Spirit. We looked at those last week. There are some non-negotiables. But that doesn't mean that we're all alike. And some of you think that you are of little value because maybe you don't preach on Sundays, or you're not in church leadership, or because you are young, or because you're a woman, or because you're not socially popular. You're not the life of the party. You think, well, maybe I'm just unimportant. Do not believe those lies. God has specifically given you a gift to use in this church, but if all you do is show up on Sunday and leave, and you don't minister to us with the spiritual gift that God has given you, then you're living in disobedience, and the rest of us suffer as well, because we need you in this church family to minister. God has given you a gift that you are to use. God has, through the Holy Spirit, and this is what He's teaching here in Ephesians 4, given you a spiritual gift that you're to use to minister to the church. And Paul's just talking to believers here. But what if you don't use your spiritual gift to minister? What if you just decide to do your own thing and not minister and just say, I'm just going to just sort of show up and, you know, it's a nice place. I can hear a sermon, check it off my list, and go about my business. Do you not think that the Lord will hold you accountable? I mean, read Matthew 25 if that is your thinking, that I can just kind of show up and do my own thing. God held the man with one talent accountable for what he did not do. And it's a sobering thought to think of the consequences of not ministering according to the grace that God has blessed you with in giving you a spiritual gift. At least one. Some have more. Now, let me repeat what I said a few minutes ago. Unity of the Spirit is not uniformity. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try and minister the exact same way that someone else ministers. Minister according to the grace given to you by God. Don't try and minister like me. If you're a young person, don't try and minister exactly like your parents. God may call you to minister in the same way, but we're not cookie cutters here. He didn't make everyone alike. Don't try to administer someone you admire. Minister as God designed you to minister. Do not let the rest of us suffer because you do not minister, because you think, well, I'm different from others. Be thankful that there are a bunch of differences in this room. I don't play the piano, but I can do this. Help me out, Alyssa, or someone. Is that C, middle C? Does that sound right? I did it on my piano, but now I've forgotten which key it was. Okay, I think that's middle C. Let's just say I'm middle C. Is that kind of a nice sound? Yeah, that's not bad. Okay. This is about, I can do one more thing. But what if when we got together every Sunday, this is all you heard all day? It's a nice sound, but now it's starting to become a little annoying. Because this is all you hear. All the time. Oh, there's someone else jumped in. But on the piano, there's 88 keys. And they all have their place, and none of them are exactly alike. None of them are. And if you think, well, I got to sound like this, there's only one middle C. That's it. And if that's all that people hear at this church, and that's all they see, and that's all, or if it's someone else, it becomes annoying. It doesn't make us, it's just a sound that doesn't fit with the music. But when Alyssa plays and we sing and there's all these other notes here, everyone's individual, there's all these different notes, and I can't play a song, but all the notes are different. So if you say, I wish I was middle C, I wish I was middle C, I wish I was the pastor, and I wish I could, you know, do this or that, and you don't understand and you don't appreciate whichever key that God has made you, we miss out on the song. And so, especially for those in here who want to downsize the way they see themselves, and you want to be a certain key, if you just enjoy and make the sound that God has made you in the key that He has made you with the spiritual gift that He has given you, then we all can enjoy it. You may not be, I mean, I don't know how often, I think it's rare, that the top key and the bottom key are used. I would think middle C is used a lot more than the two N's, but they all still have their place. But when everyone wants to do something else and not be what God has made them to be, then we all suffer from it. If we all ministered alike and tried to be uniformed, then we have missed the teaching of the Scriptures. But when all of us minister according to the grace of God, then we can be a beautiful song as a church. With each note different, but still in unity. That is what every song is. Each note on that piano is different, but when played the right way, it is in unity, even though every single note is completely different. If you go back to Adam and Eve in the garden, in the beginning of time, the world was perfect. There was no sin then. But Adam and Eve were exactly alike. Oh, no, they weren't. They were completely different. There were some similarities, but God did not even make Adam and Eve exactly alike. He intentionally made them different so that they could be complementary of each other. God designed those two separate humans and different individuals to become one flesh. But they could only do that if they were different. And because of their differences, unity was able to be complete. God said it Himself, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." See, God designed us to need each other. So the unity of the Spirit does not mean that we are all alike, but instead, intentionally created by God to be different, but still unified as believers. And when each of us ministers as God imparted us to with our spiritual gifts, then the entire body grows and be blessed. But if we're all fighting to be middle C, then nothing will get done. It'll be an annoying sound. But if everyone is content with the spiritual gifts that God has given them, and they serve and minister according to that gift, then it's a beautiful song. God intentionally made us all different. And if you look at Ephesians 4, 16, just jump ahead a few verses. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. This is what happens when every believer ministers and uses their spiritual gift as God intends. The church body grows and is edified. The church needs you, and you need the church. This is the consistent teaching of the Scriptures. And if you think you don't need the church, and if you think that we don't need you, then we're in disagreement with what the Bible teaches. Not in disagreement with me, but with what the Bible teaches. So here in verse 7, Paul tells us, "But unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Everyone, according to God's grace, has been given at least one spiritual gift. And it has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You see, God gave us the Spirit. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit when He ascended. And the Spirit of God, through Christ, gives out the spiritual gifts. So God has specifically chosen to give the spiritual gifts to you that you have. Now don't get confused here, because all believers have the promise of the Holy Spirit. We've all been baptized at salvation by the Holy Spirit. But then we also were given at least one spiritual gift as God determined. In fact, the phrase "every one of us is given grace" is referring to the spiritual, to the grace gifts, the spiritual gifts. I'm not going to get into a study of spiritual gifts at this time, but just to be clear, the spiritual gifts that the Bible is speaking of, it's not things like locking up the church door when you leave. That's not a spiritual gift. And it's not, you know, bringing food to the fellowship meal. Those are just things that you are part of to participate so that we can run a little smoother. But I'm talking about gifts like exhortation and mercy and teaching and giving that the Scripture teaches us. But these are the gifts that we have. Every one of us has at least one if you are a believer. And it's by using these gifts that we minister to one another in the body. Which leads us to the second truth, is that Christ is the giver of our spiritual gifts. Look again at verse 7. Do you see the word "measure" there? According to the measure of the gift of Christ. It's an interesting word because this teaches us that Christ portioned out the spiritual gifts. That's what it means there in the Greek. He personally gave them to us. And in the Greek, it's pictured as if He took a measuring utensil, like a measuring cup, and gave this many gifts to you, and this many gifts to me, and this many gifts to you. A little more to this guy, a little more to this guy, a little less to this guy. Some to this woman, some to this child, some to this man. It's all portioned out. We all have our own personally measured out portion of spiritual gifts that God has given each of us according to His sovereign will. Which means when we complain that someone else is more gifted to us, or, man, I wish I had that spiritual gift. When we complain or whine, we really are complaining that God in His sovereignty was wrong in giving us the spiritual gift that we have. But God is never wrong or unjust in dealing with us. We also know that there are those with many gifts that the Lord has blessed them with. What does the Scripture say about that? To whom much is given, much is required. Again, it's the same theme of the parable of the talents. But it is Christ who has, in a sense, divvied out the spiritual gifts according to His will. Look at verses 8 through 10. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill, that he might fill all things. So the giver is Christ. But this third truth is really important to know because of what it required. So not only does each believer receive at least one spiritual gift as promised in the Scripture, doesn't mean that some don't have more. And not only is Christ the giver of our spiritual gifts, but we receive our spiritual gifts because of His sacrifice and because of His ascension. You ever had a gift that you thought was nice, but then once you realized how much was put into it, or how much it cost, or how great the sacrifice was to get you that gift, all of a sudden now it seems a lot more valuable. I remember when my mom's mom passed away many, many years ago. My mom was given a watch. Now, my mom is not a jewelry person at all. She just doesn't. I mean, she'll wear earrings, but she's not really into necklaces and pearls and all that kind of stuff. But she was given a watch by her mom. And now, her mom was real flashy in that sense. And so she received a nice watch, and she said, you know, she asked my sister if she wanted it. She said no, and my mom said, well, I don't want it. And she said, boy, do you want it? I said, well, I'll take it. So I took it, and I took it to my brother-in-law, who's a jeweler. I said, hey, tell me, what's this watch worth? He goes, wow, that's a nice watch. He said, that's probably a $800 to $1,000 watch. I said, oh. See if I sell it to my sister now. But it was one of those things that nobody kind of wanted. And all of a sudden they realized, oh, wow, the value's a lot more than we thought it was. And we thought maybe it was a $100 watch. But I want you to realize that in order, when it comes to our spiritual gifts, there was a great sacrifice that it took for you to have the spiritual gift that you have. Because maybe up to this point you thought, yeah, I mean, my spiritual gift is, you know, exhortation or it's teaching or giving. And maybe you just kind of downplayed it as, yeah, that's what I have. Almost as if no big deal. But I want you to realize in order for us to receive these diverse gifts that we have in this body, that it required a sacrifice. The spiritual gift that you have that ministers to the local body, that gift you have that maybe you've been ignoring or that you think is not really a big deal, do you know what it required for you to have it? Do you know what happened so that you may receive the spiritual gift that you have right now? Well, a couple of things. First of all, the Bible tells us in verse 8 when spiritual gifts were first given. When He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So when were the spiritual gifts given? Not until Christ ascended were gifts given. Now, let's get that first. Not until Christ ascended were the spiritual gifts even given. Now listen, here's Psalms, and Paul is referring to Psalm 68, verse 18. And this is what Psalm 68 says. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. So Paul shows us that the spiritual gifts... Here's the thing. Your spiritual gifts have a beginning. They have an origin. And the reason we have spiritual gifts is because of what it says in verses 9 and 10 of our text. Look again. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that He might fill all things. Because Christ ascended, we were able to receive our spiritual gifts. Now, if there is any part of the life of Christ, and I'm saying this in a sense, not from a statistical study, but just think about how we look at things when we read the Scriptures. But if there's any part of the life of Christ, I believe that is the least focused on in all His life, is probably His ascension. I mean, in a couple of months, there's going to be a great focus on the birth of Christ. And then a few months after that, about His death and His resurrection. But there's really there's seldom a lot of focus or attention, I guess, on the ascension of Christ. It's just not something that we talk about a lot. But here it is in our text today. The ascension of Christ, and young people who may not understand, I'm talking about when Jesus went to heaven, when He ascended into heaven. That's what I'm talking about. After He died and rose again, and then He ascended into heaven. He went back to the Father. That's what I'm talking about with the ascension of Christ. The ascension of Christ made it possible for us to receive our gifts when He went back up. But if we take a step back, we have to understand what made the ascension of Christ possible. Well, that was His sacrifice. You see, this text in Psalm 68, which Paul is speaking about, is referring here about, it's a verse about war, really. When a king would go to war, when he would win, he would return home, and all the spoil, all the victory, all the things that he would gain in the victory of defeating this other nation or kingdom, the king would typically go to a mountain and all these gifts would be given. He would get all the spoil from the victory. And then many times he would turn and give it back out to the citizens of his country. And people in, you know, that were part of the victory. His leaders, his commanders, the military. And so he would have the spoil from the victory. But he could only do that if he won. And he could only win if he fought. So in this context, Christ has gone to battle. And what is it that He defeated? He defeated sin and death. And then He ascended. And what did He do after He ascended? He gave us, the church body, spiritual gifts. And here's what we have to understand. Christ could only do this once He ascended. And He could only ascend if He was victorious. And He was only victorious because He defeated sin and death. And He defeated sin and death by sacrificing Himself. And He could only come and be that perfect sacrifice by leaving heaven in the first place and descending, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, and descending to us in the first place. Understand this. The spiritual gift that you have maybe just said, yes, that's my spiritual gift, and been nonchalant about it. Do you realize the great sacrifice that was made for you to have that? Christ had to leave the heavens in the first place. He came and was the perfect sacrifice. He gave up His life. He laid it down. No one took it from Him. He was crucified. He defeated sin and death. He was risen from the dead. And then He ascended into heaven and then gave gifts. He could only do that if all those other things took place. So the next time you want to just treat your spiritual gift as it's something you have and it's no big deal, look what it cost Christ to give it to you. You cannot take it lightly. It comes with such a great price. And when you consider the fact that maybe you are not using your spiritual gift, don't take lightly the sacrifice of Christ. It cost Him His life to give you your spiritual gift. Because only when He ascended was He able to do that. Just as a king in victory, the only time He can give out the spoil is if He has defeated something. And when we just show up and leave and don't minister to one another and we're not connected and involved in the lives of other believers here at Heritage, it must cause great grief to our Lord. For us to take lightly the fact that we even have a spiritual gift and to not use it to minister to the church family. We understand the teaching of Scriptures and we should care enough to minister as He has individually blessed us to do. Doesn't mean husbands and wives, that means your wife most likely, not always, but most likely will have a completely different spiritual gift than you. And your children, different spiritual gifts. So we can't go around, listen, you need to be more like me. No! Middle C is a great sound, but if that is all you hear, it becomes annoying. You can't make a song out of it. We here at Heritage must realize how important and valuable our spiritual gifts are. No one in here can take your role lightly. And whether you're going to be here for 20 years or you're just going to be here for 2 years and be gone, we have to take Ephesians 4 seriously. That God has given us each a spiritual gift that He expects us to use for the edification of this local body. And we will be held accountable. And I believe this passage is a timely one for us today here at Heritage. And we have to understand we will never be a strong, healthy church until every believer takes seriously their own role here at Heritage. Man, woman, young person, every single person. If you're a believer, God has blessed you with at least one spiritual gift that He intends for you to minister to the local body with. Now the question is, will you do that? Will you minister? Will you use your spiritual gift to make us a healthier church? Christ sacrificed so much for you to have your spiritual gift. Let us use them to His glory and bless the local church, the local body that He has given to us. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Paul and his teachings and what he has written to these churches that were in Asia. Father, thank You for the gift of Your Son. And today, maybe for the first time, many have realized that this spiritual gift or gifts that You've given to us came with a very great price. And how it must grieve You to see us not to use these gifts to edify and exhort and to minister to the local body. Father, make us a healthy church where everyone knows their role and the things that they do to minister according to the gifts. Father, help us to grow and to love one another enough and to love You enough to minister and to take seriously our own roles here in the church. Father, thank You for Your Son, that He first descended and came to this earth, gave His life, and won a great victory, and has since ascended back to the Father and given gifts to the believers. Thank You for the great price. Lord, we just praise You for Your goodness. And I pray that we are a beautiful song to You as a local church. In Jesus' name, amen.